Hi listeners, today's message is on water baptism and communion. These are two ordinances that the Lord has given to the body of Christ. Now the word ordinance, according to Webster's dictionary, describes as a prescribed practice or a ceremony. So these are two prescribed ceremonies that the believers in Christ follow. And I want to first look into the water baptism. Now, water baptism is a symbolic of what happened to a believer when they accept Christ. It symbolizes certain spiritual aspects. And the first scripture I want to take is Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. It says, "And he," that this is Jesus, "said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all the creation. Verse 16, it says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." I'm reading from the NIV. So the first aspect the water baptism symbolizes is a person that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. As they go through the water baptism, they are testifying and they are making a proclamation to the world that they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have trusted Him as their Lord and Savior. Verse 16, it says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Now, water baptism itself does not save anyone. In order for a person to be saved, they have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they have to repent of their sins, and they have to confess Jesus as the Lord of their lives. If you read Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, it explains it, that if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you are saved. Once you do this, then you follow through with the water baptism to testify to the world that you have accepted Christ as your Savior. Now, some may ask that they have been baptized as a little baby, and should they need to go again through the water baptism? Absolutely, yes. Because, first of all, the baby baptisms are not scriptural, because it's not in the scripture. You cannot find a scripture to support the baby baptisms. It is a man-made ceremony that certain churches follow. But water baptism that is recorded in the Bible is for the believers in Christ. Once they are born again, they are instructed to follow through with the baptism in water. This is total immersion. You are going under the water and you are coming out. It's not just sprinkling, it is going under and then you are coming out, coming up of the water. So, because it represents and it's symbolic of certain spiritual aspects, as I will explain it as we go. And so if you have been sprinkled as a baby and now you are a born-again believer, you need to follow through with the baptism, water baptism. And it is a command, it's not an option, it's a command from the Lord. The next aspect the water baptism symbolizes is, I want to take Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. So, the second aspect the water baptism symbolizes is that it shows how the believer is testifying their submission to the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word baptism is coming under the authority. And so when you go under the water, the person that is baptizing you will say, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that is symbolizing the person, the believer, is testifying that they are going to be submissive to the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's showing our submission to the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This third aspect is, it's in Romans 6, verse 3. It says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So as we go under the water, it symbolizes our old life, dying to the flesh, the old life, and then as we come up out of the water, it symbolizes the new person in Christ. So as we are going under, we are being buried in our sinful nature, and then as we come up, we are coming as the new creation in Christ Jesus. It shows the death to the old life, and then as you come up, you are coming up as a new creation in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, now if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, all things have become new. So that's what symbolizes as you go under the water, you are showing, yes, your old man is dead now. Now you are a new person as you, in Christ, as you have been born again. Now, in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17, it shows that Jesus himself was baptized in water. I want to read this. It says in Matthew chapter 3, starting from verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So Jesus himself was baptized in water, and he was giving us an example as believers that we need to follow through with the water baptism once we are born again. Now, once again, I want to say water baptism itself will not save anyone. You have to be born again and make Jesus the Lord of your life. And once you do that, you need to follow through with the water baptism. The second ordinance I want to talk about is a communion. Now, this is a very important ritual that we practice as believers in Christ. And God wants us to come to the communion table with a proper manner. He wants us to realize that it is a holy moment as we come to partake the communion, and we have to treat it properly as we partake the Holy Communion. I want to take 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting from verse 23. It says, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood.'" So Jesus, on the day, on the night that he was to be betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time we take the bread, we are remembering what Jesus has done for us. His body was broken for us. And every time we do it, we are remembering what Jesus did for us. Then he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." His blood was shed for the new covenant. And he says, every time you do this, you remember me. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So every time we partake that Holy Communion, we are declaring and proclaiming his death until he comes. Now, verse 27, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Now, the Bible says that, you know, you are to take communion. You can take it as often as you want, and there's no specific place that it describes that you have to be to take communion. You can take communion at the church, and if you want to take communion at your home, sometimes you can do that. It says you have the freedom to do that. It doesn't say you have to go to church every time to take communion, even though the church, most churches do serve communion on a regular manner. So you can enjoy taking communion at your church, and also whenever you feel like you want to take communion, you can take communion at home too. So, but as long as you do it in a proper manner, it has to be treated with respect and reverence, because it's holy. We have to remember that this is the bread, and the bread and the cup represents his body and his shed blood. So we have to do it with proper respect and proper reverence wherever we take communion. And verse 27 says, "If anybody eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." So we have to be careful how our attitude and how we approach the communion table as we come to partake communion. Verse 28 says, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." The Bible says we need to examine ourselves and to see whether there's any sin in our lives. It is very important that before we partake communion, whenever we partake communion, now God says you can do it as often as you want, we have the freedom to do that, but we have to examine ourselves every time before we partake that communion to see whether we have any sin in our lives. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any unknown sin. Or if we have any sin in our lives that are that we know of, we need to repent of those sins. That means to turn from those sins and to ask for forgiveness before we partake the communion. So Then verse 29, it says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." So if you eat and drink with sin in your life, you are bringing judgment upon yourself. So that's the reason we need to examine our hearts, examine our lives and see, is there any sin in our lives? If you are into any kind of willful sin, any kind of sin in your life, and you are not willing to repent at the moment and to turn away from it, do not partake communion at that time. You need to wait until you are willing to repent and to ask for forgiveness, and then you can partake the communion. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, it says, "If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." God is willing to forgive you. God is not trying to keep you from coming to the communion table, but he wants to come and approach that table with a proper manner, with proper respect and regard for what it represents. And so when we come, make sure that we have dealt with our sin and asked for forgiveness as we take that communion. And he says, if you don't, then you are bringing judgment upon yourself. And the next word it says, "That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." Fallen asleep means some have died before their time. They have come to an untimely death. So the judgment of taking communion unworthily, taking communion with sin, known sin in their lives, had brought sickness for some and weakness, and some even have died before their time. And it's in the next verse, it says, verse 31, it says, "But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." So God says, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. And God wants all of us as believers in Christ to partake communion as often as we want, but always to approach a communion table in a proper and a worthy manner that will show respect and reverence for the Lord's body and his shed blood. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God, for these ordinances that you have given us, which represents what took place, first of all, the baptism in water, what took place in our lives as we were born again, Lord. I just thank you, Lord God, that your grace, your mercy that was extended so that we can come out of darkness into your marvelous kingdom and to receive salvation, Lord, and to have the privilege to come to the communion table and to take that precious the bread and the cup that reminds us of your death. That was the sacrifice you paid for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every time we take the bread and the cup, Lord, that we remember the awesome sacrifice that you paid for us, all because of your great love and mercy for our lives. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, always to obey your commands and walk in a way that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.